during the last Gulf War, after the liberation of Kuwait. Then New York Times reporter Chris Hedges and NPR's Neil Conan drove across the border into Iraq and were captured by Iraqi soldiers. They were turned over to a larger Republican Guard division, which came under fire during a Shiite rebellion in Basra. They were flown to Baghdad, where a few days after the ceasefire in March of 1991, they and some three dozen other journalists were released. My concern for their well-being was particularly strong. Neil Conan is my husband. The incident was not the only dramatic chapter in Chris Hedges' career as a war correspondent, which began in the early 1980s, dodging bullets in El Salvador, and continued to the war in Kosovo. His experiences are told in his recently published book, War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning. He remembers a 1991 scene during his stay as a guest of the Iraqi Republican Guard. He was held in a rundown Baghdad hovel known as the Hotel Diana.
I could hear our captors talk about what would happen to us when we were turned over to the secret police and whether or not we would be executed. And I had developed a relationship with them, especially with a major, and they were worried for our safety. This was not something I related to the other journalists. It was frightening enough as it was. And when we were turned over to these guys, I mean, these guys are real killers. They locked us in this rundown hotel and held us in there for, you know, roughly a day without any food or anything. And I woke up in the morning, and I looked out over the city, and I saw that women were out there baking breads on the roofs of their houses in these sort of clay ovens. And I called out in Arabic and said, "I'm an American, I'm a journalist, and I haven't had any food for a long time. Could you give me some bread?" And this woman took these round loaves of bread that she had baked, put them in a bag, and passed them to a boy who tried to bring them over to my window but was stopped by the guards.
Hmm. I believe that boy went up the back stairs and someone said, "Who ordered the bread?" And I believe Neil actually got to eat some of it, but you didn't.
Yes, I didn't know that at the time. I never got it. Somebody got it. That's good.
After your experience being held captive, you went back. I mean, you went back to Sarajevo, you went back to Kosovo. Why? I mean, what's the thrill? Explain the adrenaline.
You know, war is the most powerful narcotic invented by humankind. And it has a very dark kind of pull. Those adrenaline rushes, that sense of empowerment, you get addicted to those kinds of rushes, that kind of danger. And it is, like any narcotic, ultimately self-destructive. It will destroy you, and it has destroyed many friends of mine. I knew I finally had to break free, but that was the attraction. I did it so long, I couldn't function anywhere else.
Why did you stop? Was the thrill gone?
Well, I stopped because I realized it was going to destroy me. You know, I got caught. I went back to cover the second Intifada, or Palestinian uprising in Gaza, and ended up in the Netzarim Junction, got caught in an ambush, and there was a young Palestinian man shot through the chest and killed about 15 feet away from me. And there I am, you know, 40 years old, sprinting down a road with 17-year-old Palestinian kids carrying plastic bags full of Molotov cocktails, and Israeli snipers are trying to kill me. And I'm thinking, this is nuts. I mean, I don't need to know what it feels like. You know, I have to break free from this. And then also I lost my closest colleague or friend who I'd worked with for many years, Kurt Schork in Sierra Leone, along with another great journalist and great friend, Miguel Gil Moreno. And that was very sobering. That struck me very deeply. I mean, I couldn't even drive for 3 or 4 days. I couldn't focus. I mean, I was really completely wiped out by that.
Did writing the book help cathartically for you to get some of these feelings and experiences just out on paper and be able to talk about them?
No. You can't do therapy with a computer. And writing that book was painful. And to be honest, especially in that last chapter, you know, I couldn't see the screen because the tears just clouded up my eyes.
Writing about Kurt and writing...
Well, writing about love, Eros and Thanatos, the death instinct and the instinct to preserve and conserve and protect, and the battle between these two instincts within all of us and within human society. And yes, writing about Kurt and writing about myself. I mean, you know, it's not... At times, there's nothing abstract in it. It's not a narrative, and I was very careful, if I did bring myself into the book, to bring myself in as a kind of negative, in some ways to condemn myself, because I didn't want this to be another memoir about how brave I am, or, you know, journalists have a habit of doing this. But I don't know that it was cathartic. I think that, you know, in the end, you're healed only with the love of another. And if you don't have that, you can't be healed.
Chris Hedges is a reporter for the New York Times and author of the book, War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning. He joined us from our New York bureau. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks, Leanne.